Welcome to Inclusion Matters, produced by the Center for Inclusive Childcare,
aka the CICC.
We're located at inclusivechildcare.org.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm your host, Cindy Croft, and I'm here with one of our inclusion consultants, Priscilla Weigel. Welcome, Priscilla.
Hi, Cindy.
It's great to have you back again.
Good to be here.
In our continuation of our podcast today, we're going to talk about challenging behaviors, and particularly we want to talk about aggressive behaviors that we see in young children. So today, I thought we'd start out, and I thought we'd talk about some of the challenges that face providers.
Okay.
Particularly, what comes to your mind around aggressive behaviors sometimes that you see when you're out working that might come into play in the early childhood environment?
Well, oftentimes when I receive a call about just consultation for children in the early childhood realm, the aggressive piece is really a common thread. And one type of aggression that seems to be most consistent as far as challenging providers is just that aggression that doesn't seem to have a real pattern to it. So it's a child that just is repeatedly engaging in this aggressive behavior. It's kind of their modus operandi. It's just what they do when they're frustrated, they hit somebody. What they do when they're excited, they crash into somebody. There's just a lot of consistency in that aggression. And providers just, you know, are often throwing their hands up and saying, we don't know what's causing it, we don't know what's triggering it, it's just all the time.
So it's a child who is aggressive, but the provider doesn't really know the cause or what. It's sort of just that they seem to see that child as the child who's aggressive. Mm-hmm. That's just maybe they feel like it's their personality, mm-hmm. or so they start to sort of label that child as, well, that's just who that child is.
Right.
And then it becomes sort of a spiraling, out of control sort of thing in, mm-hmm. the provider's mind.
And also in the mind of the peers of that child, too. It's a child that oftentimes, you know, he comes into the room or she comes into the room and all the other kids move the other way just because they think, oh, yeah, that's right. Here comes so-and-so. They're going to knock down my tower. They're going to come like a tornado through this area. So there's just a real negative feeling about that child, and it's all based on just that aggressive behavior.
So you said, for instance, the child might come in like a tornado, but what other kinds of actions might you see in a child who doesn't seem to have a real pattern to their aggression?
One thing that is common is just kind of that negative attention getting mode. Children love to have adult attention. They love to have attention of their peers. A child that typically is being aggressive and challenging over and over again, what happens oftentimes is that they get this pattern set in their mind of, I know how to get the biggest bang for my buck. It's to do something that's not okay, because that's when I get the quick attention from that grown-up in my life, whether it's climbing on top of a shelf or throwing a block across the room or just pushing a friend or going into a group of children and knocking over a tower. When you look at the response to that behavior, it's a quick fix for that child. They get attention. And what happens is, they get into that mode of, this is how I get attention from others. And they don't, it doesn't matter if you're yelling at them or if you're, you know, using your grumpiest voice. They just don't see that as, they don't distinguish between that attention. It's just attention. And so the goal is to try to move them away from that and to help them understand that positive attention is really much more fun. It's really much more positive, obviously, with, you know, just saying positive attention, but just to help them understand that that's not how they have to get their needs met.
I can see where that would be extremely frustrating for the other children, and particularly for the provider, mm-hmm. or their early educator.
Mm-hmm.
So you talked a little bit about positive attention, but when you go into a program and you're working with the program to sort of look at this child and give them some, help them with some strategies that they can implement so they can be more successful with this child and, mm-hmm. help that child be more successful, what are some of the tips that you might give them?
Well, we talk a lot about not fueling the behavior. Our reaction is like a fuel for the child. They want our energy, and so what kind of energy are we going to give them? And I always use the visual example of like a grill with coals and lighter fluid. So their child's behavior is the grill with those coals. And when I react, regardless of what that reaction is, it's squirting lighter fluid on that fire, and it's going to get bigger. So if I want the fire to get bigger that's positive, I'm not going to give the lighter fluid, I'm not going to give the fuel for the negative behavior. Dr. Howard Glasser has a quote, "Why water weeds?" We don't want to cultivate those weeds, and that's what really aggressive behavior is, like a weed in a garden. And the more we spend time giving big attention to that, that weed's going to grow bigger. So we want to react in a way that's pretty flat. And I think that that's challenging for providers because oftentimes it's a safety issue. And this child typically gets their goat. I mean, they're frustrated with this little person. And so they tend to go from 0 to 60 quickly because they know, oh, here's that behavior again. So they've kind of got a pattern established themselves by giving that fuel for the negative behavior. So, you know, one example that I like to give them is, you know, if you, let's say a child is taking his or her time getting their stuff on to go outside. Typically, what do we say to get them moving? We say, come on, let's hurry up. Come on. And it's like, you know, the child then has our attention and we're thinking that's going to spur them on to get ready faster. And the child who's kind of stuck in that negative attention getting mode, they're going to just kind of rest on their laurels a little bit and say, boy, this is kind of fun. I've got this adult talking right at me here, and I'm going to just take my time. And instead saying, what's your job right now? And moving away from that child. You're not fueling the behavior. You have real flat affect on your face. You're not using an excited tone. You're not using a louder voice. You're just stating a real simple reminder that triggers that child's brain to say, oh, what is my job right now? So you're causing them to think about their next task instead of thinking about, I'm just going to sit here and get that fuel again. So that's something that's really common, is just the response that we give. What's your job right now? Or not okay. Walk away. You know, remove the child from the unsafe situation without even saying anything at that moment. Mm-hmm. Because they're looking for that verbal fuel. Right. And we're going to take the fuel away.
Right. That's very good information. Anything else you'd like to add to this? Like, for instance, what if the child is being aggressive with another child? Then what kind of intervention do you think the early educators should employ?
Well, always empowering the other child, empowering the victim to speak up for themselves, because we don't want them to become dependent on having an adult to always have to intervene in their conflicts. So saying to that child that's being hurt, you need to tell him you don't like that and use your grumpy voice. And, you know, help, and even being near that child and helping them kind of through those first few times of saying it, because what it's going to do is show the child that's causing the aggression and choosing that aggressive mode, boy, you know what, this isn't as fun anymore, because, and it's back to that negative attention getting. Oftentimes the good victims are the big screamers or the kids that cry real easily, because that's a powerful feeling when you can really influence someone else's behavior. And young children figure that out pretty quickly. Infants figure it out. I cry, someone comes. You know, so it's just that whole kind of processing that's going on in that young person's mind. And so we want to pull that out. We want to say, okay, no, this is not okay. So starting with the victim, empowering them to stand up for their rights. And also, sometimes it requires shadowing that child that's typically aggressive on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Just being their shadow and saying to, you know, maybe if there's more than one adult in that center or that home or that preschool, to say, okay, I'm going to take the morning, you can be the afternoon. And so there's not that moment of hesitation of who's going to intervene here. Mm-hmm. You're just on it right away. So you don't waste those seconds of indecision. And so you're going to just shadow that child, not hover, but shadow. And being a shadow is just kind of being behind that child and monitoring what's going on so that you can see the situations before they escalate to the point of aggression. You can see the arm going up with the toy in it, mm-hmm, before that arm hits that other child. And so you're going to be there and say, how do we use trucks? What are blocks for? Mm-hmm. You know, you're just, and all those things engage that child's mind to think of the response. I'm not telling them what they're supposed to be doing. I'm causing them to think about what they're supposed to be doing. So in turn, that's going to be more useful for them. Mm-hmm. You know, we always talk about teachable moments in early childhood all the time. That's a teachable moment right there. Mm-hmm. Because if we just remove the toy that they're hitting with, or take the child out of the situation without giving them something to think about, it doesn't do anything. It just says, conflicts are bad. This is, you know, you just remove. And what we want to do is to say to the child, no, this is not the mode you want to take. Mm-hmm. Here's another option. Mm-hmm. But you have to be involved in thinking of that option.
So in essence, you're replacing the energy a child gets from using aggression, for instance. You're replacing that energy they're getting with positive energy in a different situation, mm-hmm. when they're not involved in
right.
aggressive behavior, and then hoping that change for them gets them to see the positive outcome of engaging in the behaviors that in general you want to see in your program.
Right.
And so and you've seen that in practice.
Definitely. And the key is, if the child is playing well, and even if it's for a matter of seconds, when you're shadowing that child, you're able to see those seconds of positive play and to say to that little person, hey, look at your friends are smiling.
Excellent.
You're a good player. They really like it when you play that game. And so you're just giving them those positives.
That's excellent, Priscilla. I think this has been really useful today. For those who are listening, we're going to continue this podcast in our next podcast, and we are going to continue to talk about some challenging behaviors and strategies for that. So thank you again, Priscilla, for being with us, and for all of you for listening to this podcast of the Center for Inclusive Childcare.
That's all for now. See you next time.